This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings coming at you live from Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 14th, episode 1380, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse people. It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, indeed. I was just reading an article that said spring is coming early for most places in the country. Is that true for you guys?
Well, spring never left. So...
Shut up, Florida jerkface. Apparently, it's unseasonably warm here in Oklahoma. And that's the problem is, you know, we bought land here, Chad and I did, less than a year ago. And every time I come here, it's like this beautiful... not windy, no tornado. I'm like, this place is so beautiful. And they're like, yeah, it's unseasonably warm. It should be raining. And by the way, it rained for 4 days before you got here.
Right. And those tornadoes.
I'm pretty sure that it's just my presence being here makes rainbows and butterflies and unicorns come out of the sky. I mean, that's what happens, I think.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. And this is also Jamie's favorite time of the year when we change the clocks and now she has to get up an hour earlier in Arizona again.
I'm not grumbling as bad because I'm in Oklahoma, which is just an hour different than your time. So it wasn't so bad. I'm like, I can take this. Oh, great. Because it's not 4:45 when my alarm goes off because Arizona doesn't change time. So then I'm on California time for most of the year, which means those, you know, those guests that were like, oh, we don't want to book them at the beginning of the show because they're in California. Yeah, that's me. Thanks.
And your sound is coming in and out for me. Welcome to Oklahoma. So we'll have to see if we can, if you'll hold out all morning here. Are you getting storms? Is there tornadoes in the area? What's the story?
I don't think so. I think it's just a nice day. And this is just the internet that this house provides.
Got it. Okay, good. Well, let's hope it just comes and goes. So we'll have to make sure that we can understand you. That's all.
Sorry.
We wouldn't want to miss a word, Jamie. Wouldn't want to
lies.
Miss a word.
All lies. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, following a thorough yet entertaining recap of the co-host's weekend adventures, we're going to be joined by Kristen Leshny from the Jockey Club. And she has the lowdown on how thoroughbred owners can get a sort of honorable discharge from racing, paving the way for their steed's second career, complete with their jockey papers. And then sliding to a stop, amid roaring applause, the wacky world of Horse Nation. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
All right, very good. Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to all the math geeks out there. Happy Pi Day, everybody. Happy Pi Day.
Are you a math geek? No.
No, and I had to look up what pi was again. So I mean, I was better at math than English, and I know we have some smart... We have a lot of accountants that actually listen to this show. So for them, I say Happy Pi Day. Do you remember what pi is?
I know what pi is, but that's because my husband is a math... He was a math major in college.
Oh, like okay.
What a nerd. I'm like, you actually did math, like, on purpose to, like, get a degree?
Guess that's why he's a fighter pilot.
I guess it's kind of math is kind of important with fighter pilots, especially understanding angles and things.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, yeah, good on him.
I still have trouble with which way's north. I mean, you know.
North is up. That's hello. Right. I don't know why this is so hard.
Sorry.
South is down.
Down.
Oh, she just doesn't know what she's in for, and neither does he. I'd like to give my daily whinny to my sister-in-law, who is going to take my child today for the next 3+ days. She has 3 kids already. It's not like she'll notice one more.
That's what I was going to say. Well, just blend right in.
I mean, he'll blend right in, but I am leaving Lucas today, and we are going to Dallas, where my husband begins his American Airlines flight training, and I guess there's like 2 days of training for me as well, so I'm going to go and learn how to play airline pilot wife, I guess. I don't know what I'm going to do.
But officer wife wasn't enough?
I know. They've kicked me out of the Air Force wife club, so now I'm going to go try to be airline pilot wife.
Let's face it, you were never really in the Air Force wife club.
Hey, I can...
You were never really in that club.
Bake cookies like the rest of them.
You can buy just, cookies like the rest yes. of them. Yes.
Well, but then you put them in your own tin and you're fine. Nobody knows. Oh, these are really symmetrical and pretty. Thank you. I worked really hard on them.
You know, it used to be, and you remember, right, in the old days at grocery stores, you could only buy, like, the package cookies. But thankfully, the delis at grocery stores now have cookies that almost look homemade.
I put M&Ms in them. Yes, I did. I scattered them throughout the top of the... Yeah, exactly.
Are they going to miss you at the Air Force Wives Club?
These cookies look strangely like Thin Mints. Yeah, I know. They're my homemade Thin Mint recipe.
You know, you're going to Oklahoma, where wives are wives. I'm not sure you're going to fit in there either.
I have a farm. My life will be just the same. I will change nothing.
Well, I did want to mention your video. You posted a video on the Auditor page, I believe.
Yes.
Of your new property, which is how many acres, by the way?
It's 12 acres.
It looks bigger than that in the picture.
12 acres is kind of big. I mean, if you think about it, it's there's this like one little piece that kind of juts off to the side. And I'm like, we thought initially we wouldn't even fence that in until we realized that that one little piece that juts off to the side is bigger than my current pastures. So I think we'll fence that in. We'll spend the money.
We're on 12 acres here, and I think the difference is there's no buildings on your property yet. And mm-hmm. once you put the buildings on it, you know, it spatially in your mind takes up space. So it looks smaller, but it looks huge. And it was flatter than I thought it would be.
It's a nice little valley, actually. So it's a lot less windy. It gets a lot of moisture down to the middle, which is good and bad. It keeps the grass green, but it doesn't let you build anything in the middle. So we'll have to work on that. There was apparently a lot of rain the day before on what's today? Today's Monday. So there was a lot of rain on Friday and Saturday. So the pond was full, and it was really, really beautiful and green and nice. I will post that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. A little caveat about the video is at some point I'm on crutches and I have crutched and worn my boot all the way out into like the middle of the property to take this video. And at some point I just dropped the phone. I mean, just like this total crash. And I thought I'll edit it out. So I didn't say anything after I dropped it and picked it up. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna edit it out. Well, when I rewatched it, it was so dang funny that, and it scared me. And then I laughed.
Scared some of the listeners. It looked like you were being attacked by a bear or something.
It scared me too. And then I started laughing. So I had to leave it in. So you get the real Jamie in this video. Okay. Like nobody's going to argue with that.
It's funny. You know, I noticed that it is entirely surrounded by barbed wire as well. So you're going to have days and days and days of prickly fingered barbed wire rolling.
Isn't that beautiful? I mean, rusty barbed wire is just, oh,
yeah, we had that at the first farm we lived at, which was 100 acres. And it was throughout the entire property, fence rows, everywhere. And we were finding barbed, we lived there for years, and we were finding barbed wire in the ground for years. You know, you think you got it all, but, you know, you didn't get the piece that had fallen off 10 years ago, right?
They clipped off and it was
in the dirt. I mean, we just dealt with, by the way, I highly, highly recommend welder gloves, because no regular pair of gloves are going to stand up to that barbed wire.
So. Yeah, Chad, and of course, you know, you can't really do your fencing until you at least have your house mapped out and flagged off and your barn kind of built and everything. You can't really do your fencing. So Chad's like, don't you think that we could maybe just, no.
He wants to use the existing fencing?
Can't we just put him in for like a little, no. But if you just put him in for a little while and there's so much, no.
It's all barbed wire, right?
It's barbed wire and then panels, like the cattle panels.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of the cattle panels too.
Beautiful.
But you just have gorgeous. The typical Western farm, barbed wire and cattle panels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was two horses that lived here for quite some time.
They never once got hurt on the barbed wire, but I guarantee you the first day you put yours out, they're all going to be cut to shreds.
Let me tell you, these horses hadn't been touched or handled. They're both basically like, it was like a mare and she delivered a baby and the baby was like 12. So you know that they haven't done anything with them or anything and they haven't trimmed their feet. And of course, like the horse's feet are all broken up and everything, but every horse on the property was sound. Fat. These horses, he doesn't even bring them food. There's so much grass. There's two horses. I mean, my horse would be, I can't go on. There's a barbed wire and I've nicked myself.
That's right.
And I need attention. I mean, you know, just.
And that's the Mustang.
Yeah, exactly. My Mustang would be like, I have been domesticated and I can no longer.
I don't do that anymore. And I also saw a picture you posted over the weekend, and I wanted to give a shout out to your old horse Joey, who apparently you sold a while back. He was from the sheriff's department. He was a rescue from the sheriff's department. And he's doing so well with his new little owner.
Oh, I'm so happy. I mean, she still boards at my house, so I still give her and Joey lessons weekly. And there was a jumper show this weekend, and I was so sad I didn't get to go, but I was initially supposed to be at Monty Roberts. So they all knew that they were going to go by themselves anyway. And she went and she did so good. And Joey got like a blue ribbon and then they had the derby and she just sent me a message. Just thank you for selling him to me. Just so random because she bought him like a year ago. But I guess she was just in that like horsey love zone. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I love him so much. He's the best. And so they did really well at the horse show and it was great. So congratulations to Abby and Joey and everybody that was at that show. Oh, I was so sad I didn't get to go. If I didn't have a broken foot, I would have tried to go, of course, but what's the point? I can't ride. Sit there and get jealous.
Well, by the way, the broken foot, the airport must have been fun. Did you get wheeled around in one of the wheelchairs?
Oh my gosh. So there's a huge, you know, it's spring break in Arizona and there was a huge line. Thanks for bringing this up because I little shout out to American Airlines or just actually Sky Harbor. I walk in and the line is to just check in is wrapped around the building. It was insane. So we finally find the end of the line. We're like, there's no way we're going to make this flight. And we're like an hour and a half early. Oh, it moves fast. And so I'm standing in line and this guy comes up to me who works at Sky Harbor and he goes, you're special needs. You get to go over here. Put me in a wheelchair.
You know, we've been saying that for years. Finally, somebody noticed.
Your special needs. Yes, I am.
But you don't know the half of it.
Your special needs assistant. They put me in a wheelchair. They took us to the front of the line. Lucas rides in the wheelchair with me. He's sitting on my lap because we didn't have a stroller. He's in my lap. The guy's pushing us through. I go right through the security line. We get to the flight. And, you know, at this point,
did you get to load special needs too? Like at first?
No, I just waited my turn. At that point, I was so grateful just to be there. Like, that was amazing. It was amazing. And Chad had to go through a different line. Like, I went through my own little special needs line all by myself with my 2-year-old on my lap in a wheelchair. It was great. Hey, I highly recommend, if it's very busy at the airport, slap on a cast and get some crutches.
You need to keep that one around bucks. For every time you go somewhere.
I'm like, come on through, Mrs.
Strap
Jennings.
It on.
Here we go.
And then walk very poorly with your crutches, like you don't know what you're doing and you're going to fall over.
I felt like that anyway with the crutches. So it was like perfect. I didn't make anything up. It was great. So that worked really well. And then I would ask you about your weekend, but you told me not to. So I'll just.
Yeah, it was just, actually, we just had a guy worked all day yesterday getting ready, of course, for Road to the Horse. So.
Who is in Road to the Horse?
Well, we have Clinton Anderson.
Okay.
We have Richard Winters, who Clinton and Richard have both won before. And then we have a new competitor by the name of Nick Dowers, who is a cow horse guy. And so it's Clinton, Richard, and Nick Dowers.
And oh, man, Nick. So he's going up against two former winners.
Yeah, and Richard and Clinton, Richard's out to make sure Clinton doesn't win again and has made that clear. So,
really?
It should be interesting, the dynamics between the three of them. And Nick's kind of this, we've had him on the show here when you were out the one day. And we had him on the show, and he's kind of a soft-spoken guy, so we'll see. He looks like your classic cowboy with the big handlebar mustache and the whole thing. Yeah, but I was getting ready for that, and Jennifer, and we also had the in-laws here. They left this morning, so 10 days of in-laws Jennifer's visiting great. Is now over. I think we're good now on visitors because, you know, this is the time of year when everybody heads back north.
Yes. So.
We're good on visitors. We're actually waiting for another 2 weeks, and the last HITS day, HITS is doing this $1 million class this year. They always end their season in Ocala here with a $1 million class, and they're doing it on Easter Sunday this year. Seemed odd to me, but they're doing it on Easter Sunday, so that means all the horse people will be out of here the day after.
That's because horse people don't go to church.
No, apparently not.
They'll be out of here the day after, which means also all of the old people head north. All the snowbirds head north right before Easter, which is very early this year. So we'll be good here in Ocala by the beginning of April. We'll be back to normal. No more lines at restaurants. And you have a little bit of that where you live.
Oh, we have a lot of it. They bless their hearts. They call them the blue hairs, and the blue hairs come on down. And but you know, like I said, it's just it's the same thing. This is the place where they go now. But we have spring training going on in Arizona, so it's crazy everywhere.
I'm spring sure we training, have that in Florida somewhere, but I don't know anything about that.
You do have that in Florida. Thank you very much. And I think there's some in Ocala, mind your manners.
Oh, I did hear, though, get this, when we go to Road to the Horse this weekend, to everybody coming in, all 10,000 of you heading to Road to the Horse in Lexington, Kentucky, guess what else is in Lexington, Kentucky this weekend? It is basketball tournament time, Sweet 16 in Kentucky. Now, we all know that the University of Kentucky is a rabbit about basketball. So I'm expecting a lot of very drunk basketball fans at the hotel.
I went to school there and they were like, you need to say this as a member of UK. And they started chanting it like this, like when I was signing in and learning where everything was. They're like, we bleed blue. We bleed blue. Yep. And I was like, yeah, I don't bleed blue. I'm sorry.
Well, they do. So it should be an interesting weekend in Lexington and packed. I mean, just packed with people. So between the cowboy hats and the, I don't know, what do they wear? The baggy jeans. It should be an interesting weekend.
Those crazy kids in their baggy jeans.
So that's all coming up this weekend. Hey, we want to get a Lucky update. I've had a couple listeners ask how Lucky's doing, but let's do that a little bit later on in the show. You know, for the first time in a long time, I went on the App Store. I have an Android, so I went in the Google App Store, and I searched horse in the apps. Have you done that lately?
No. I can't say I have.
Well, I wanted to see what apps out there involved horses, and oh my God. Let me just read some of them to you. See if you notice a trend here. Horsehaven World Adventure. My Horse. Horse Racing 3D. Horsehaven World Adventure. Princess Horse Club. Ultimate Horse Simulator. Horse Simulator. Horse Coloring Book. Virtual Horse Racing 3D. Horse Wallpapers. Police Horse Chase. Crime Drama. Transporter Trucks. Transporter Truck. I like the rest of it's cut off. Temple Horse Run, Horse Survival Simulator, Clan of Horses, Run Horse Run, Horse Grooming Salon. Every one of these in the top 30 is a game, is a horse related app.
Oh, they're video
games. They're all video games.
That's because girls love horses.
But that's my question of the day. There are a ton of horse games in the App Store. Do you play horse games on your phone? Do real horse girls play horse games on their phone? That's my question.
That's a good question.
Do you play any?
I don't play. I play Words with Friends. That's about all I play. It's all I have time to sit down for.
Yeah, I gave up on playing Words with Friends with Jamie because she beat me every game and then she would gloat about it on the show. So I
know you're pretty terrible.
Horse Baby Birth.
Geek, right?
That's a one too. Horse what? Baby Birth. Yeah, I almost opened that one up to see if they actually went through the whole process. Horse Riding Game and on and on. There are like 1,000 horse games.
I'll tell you what I'm interested in. You said horse coloring book. I want that one.
Cute Horse Pony Simulator. Cute Horse Pony Simulator. A scooter in there? Should be. Horse Zipper Lock. I'm not sure what that is. So I did check out one of them. I downloaded one of them because I saw it of a sudden. I was like, well, this has got to be great quality. A free game on the App Store, and it is called... Now I won't be able to find it. I have too many apps on my phone. Horse Sounds. It's a Horse Sounds app. And the first... I don't know if you'll be able to hear this. Let's turn it up. The first one... sounds like chili.
He's screaming. Just draw that out for another 30 seconds, and that is chili.
So I think you should get a licensing fee for that, for using chili in the app.
There's an app of horse sounds?
Yeah, it's all horse sounds. Let's see what number two is. I haven't played these before, so I don't know what they are. Running horse.
Yep.
Running horse. Let's see. I have no idea what that was. Garbly goop.
That was a bunch of horses, like four in tandem on a cobblestone street.
Look at you.
God, I'm good. Give me another one.
Oh,
give
there's
me another
a Winnie.
One.
Oh, not that one. There you go, there. Clippity-clops. It's a sneeze.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else we got? Yeah, it goes on. There's like 100 sounds in here.
That's bizarre. Like, why would you want that in an app?
Oh, here's Scooter. I got to sue him, too. That sounds like
Is that
Scooter.
What Scooter sounds like?
Kinda, yeah.
Pretty much does sound like Scooter. And oh, by the way, every time you press a sound, you get an ad.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jennifer, post that question. I wrote it out for you. I want to know if any horse people actually play.
I want to know if anybody has ever bought anything from an ad inside an app.
There you go. People keep doing it.
I guess so.
They must.
I mean, somebody bought advertising in a horse sounds app.
Well, a couple news stories here before we get started with our first guest. Harris, Louisiana Downs, that's in Louisiana, of course, had to evacuate all 850 of the horses out of the track. They had severe flooding in the area. And the water from the Red Chute Bayou overflowed its barriers. Just thinking flying. So live racing has been canceled through Wednesday, and they moved most of the horses were shipped to the Equine Sales of Louisiana facility, as well as the adjacent Copper Crown Training Center, nearly 2 hours away. They had to haul those horses. Louisiana just got nailed. They had 24 inches of rain over the past 24, or over the weekend, rather. So they ended up with almost 30 inches of rain total. They were just, so many places were flooded down there. I saw our listeners posting pictures of their farms flooded. It was bad. A lot of people died in the flooding there as well. Jeez. It just would not stop raining down in Louisiana. But it's bad when they evacuate an entire track. Everybody, horses, people, everything.
Yeah, that's no easy effort there for sure.
Now, do you have one? Because I have a loser. What do you want to do first?
I have a good one before you get to the negative one. You're heading to Lexington this coming weekend. I wanted to tell you of something to do, and it is a must do, and I'm definitely going to go by when I get to Lexington for Rolex. And it is the, and I know you're not probably a museum guy, are you?
Not real big, no.
Okay.
Do you know why? Can I be honest with you why? It's because when I go with Jennifer, she reads every plaque. Every single plaque.
Oh, really?
In every
and Jennifer, you and I will
and
go
zoo.
Watch this at Rolex. We're going to go look at this. It's Kentucky's Hedley Whitney Museum in Lexington. I believe it's out Paris.
The one with the plates and china and stuff?
Well, what they have right now is Tony Leonard's entire collection. Tony Leonard is one of the most famous, Lexington type racehorse photographers. I have a big Tony Leonard in my house. It's called, Google this right now and you can post it if you want. Three Champions by Tony Leonard. That's the picture that I have.
Everybody has that one.
The
first poster every horse girl gets.
Not anymore. There was a long time where you couldn't get it because Tony Leonard passed away and all of his collection was in his house. And it was actually then sent to one of the local vets was in charge of it, which is where my maid of honor got that print for me for my wedding. It was my wedding gift from my maid of honor was that print. So bizarre. Long story. Anyway, this group of guys bought his entire collection and they've been going through it for the past couple years. And this is a guy who basically started photographing horses after World War II. So he has just photographs of horses that through history, race horses through history, and his favorite horse was Secretariat. So he has millions of photos of Secretariat. He's got a shot of Ali Sheba at the Kentucky Derby in 1987 with the trainer. This is the article I'm showing now. And he does beautiful headshots of horses. And the three champions is all three Derby winners, a Secretariat, Seattle Slew, and Affirmed, all in one poster. And it's really cool. So anyway, all of his stuff is going to be at the museum. Actually, it is right now all the way up through, I believe, June 19th. So if you are a horse lover, art lover, either one of those things, go check it out. Tony Leonard at the Hedley Whitney Museum. I wonder if we could get somebody on from there to talk about it, because this collection has never been seen like this in this collection. They say that the only person who had ever seen all of these besides Tony was his wife, Adele. And she was the only one. But then when this whole thing kind of happened and these guys got it, all this stuff is apparently just amazing. Celebrities and art photography and portraits and celebrity candids and just this whole entire collection and all these horse pictures too. So you might want to check that out, Glenn.
I'm going to run right over there this weekend to do that. I will wait in line to do that.
I'm going to wait in line. And I know that if you Google Tony Leonard photography, you guys, you'll be like, oh my God, I got to go see it.
That wasn't too far from where we lived in Lexington, actually. And
that was right around the corner, around back. Yeah.
Did you and your mom go once?
Yes.
And am I wrong? Isn't there a lot of plates in china? Am I wrong about that?
There are plates in china and jewelry, lots and lots of sparkly things in this one. Yes. And it's a beautiful setting though. It's worthwhile going just because it's so beautiful there. Walk around the grounds because they have lots of gardens too. Yeah.
Very
cool. I posted a link to it on our Facebook page because the Hedley Whitney Museum doesn't have it listed on their, believe it or not, website yet. Really? So I posted it on their, a link to their Facebook. They put a press release out on their Facebook, so I posted that up for you.
Okay. This is really cool. I've been excited about it for a while. Sorry. Being a nerd, a horse nerd here, Glenn. Carry on. You know nothing about that.
Well, let's carry on with Omega Alpha. Why don't you tell us what products you're currently using on the farm?
Currently? Which one am I using? Let's see. You know, I decided to start out Zeus. This is my most recent adopted Mustang. Just one thing at a time. And so what we're making our way through right now is a tub of the Biotic 8. And Biotic 8 is all the good bacteria, probiotics, basically, is what they are. And I'm sure you've seen commercials with Erin Andrews talking about how important probiotics are. Well, imagine being a herbivore. You really need those. So he's on the Biotic 8, and he's been getting 2 scoops a day. And just trying to get his kind of gut back in working order before I start shoving anything else in there. So Biotic 8 is just going to, and I'm telling you guys, it's weird. I know you're going to think I'm weird, but I've already noticed his coat coming in better. You know, this is a Mustang that basically just ate alfalfa hay at the prison. And now he's got, you know, good diet. He's on a beet pulp, and he's on a Nutrina feed now, and he's on the Biotic 8, and he gets the Minarex when he needs it just to keep him with the right amount of minerals and or, you know, I don't know. I love all of their products, and they're natural, they're herbal, they're great products. So the next thing we'll be doing is working on his stomach, a little gastro effect. So that is next. But for now, we're going to stick with the Biotic 8, and you can check them out at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. But if you get a new horse, if your horse is stressed, if your horse is working a lot, check out the Biotic 8. It's one of my favorites that they have for sure.
Very good. And you can also follow them on Facebook. Omega Alpha Equine is where you want to go. All right. Why don't we introduce our next guest who is returning? She was on with us once before, I believe.
All right. Well, Kristen is back, and she's from the Jockey Club. And Jennifer found this, and I just think it's such a wonderful idea. It's called Sold as Retired from Racing, and it's a form that you can get and you can fill out if you're a trainer or an owner. And well, let's just bring Kristen on and let her tell us. Good morning, Kristen. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
We're wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
No problem.
So tell everybody, what is Sold as Retired from Racing?
Sure. So we actually created this rule in 2013, and it was a change from our prior rule, which was called Sold Without Pedigree. The difference is the Sold Without Pedigree process actually made a thoroughbred not eligible for racing or breeding purposes. So in 2013, we changed that to the Sold as Retired from Racing, which doesn't affect the horse's breeding privileges, but does make it ineligible to race going forward. So that was a pretty big change, and I think it's been pretty popular with people, especially those who are selling horses maybe to go to a second career, and they don't want to see them end up back on the racetrack.
So how does it work?
Sure. So there's a form that has to be filled out. It's actually signed by both the seller and the buyer. So there is some formality to the process, which it is understandable since you are making a pretty big decision affecting the horse's life there by retiring it from racing permanently. So it's signed and notarized by both the seller and buyer. It has to be sent back to the Jockey Club within 60 days of the sale. We then stamp the certificate as retired from racing. A copy of that is posted actually up on our website, and then the certificate is sent back to the purchaser.
Okay, so basically the current owner now knows that they cannot race the horse again. Say something happens,
right,
and they sell the horse. And that person's like, oh, great, I have a 6-year-old thoroughbred. I'm going to go race it. What happens to that guy?
So the horse, sold retired from racing continues for the remainder of the horse's life, even if it's sold again. So once the sale is made and the retired from racing process is completed with the Jockey Club, even if that horse is sold to someone after the subsequent purchaser, the retired from racing goes with the horse. So the next owner can't undo that. It's permanent once it's been done.
Oh, that's so cool. But now, like, how does the new buyer know if, like, the old buyer doesn't tell them?
So there's two things. One, if they send the papers with the horse, which we definitely encourage, those papers are stamped retired from racing in big red letters, so you can't miss it there. The seller or the new buyer could also go onto our website. There's a list of every horse that has been listed as retired from racing, so they can look there as well.
So say they don't have, you know, well, I guess it would have to have the papers to race them, wouldn't they? Because you have to turn those
they
in.
They would. And if they somehow got to the racetrack, even their one of our companies, Encompass, has what's called the racetrack operations system. And if someone were to ever try to enter a horse that is retired from racing, they actually cannot physically enter that horse.
Yay!
Entry system. So,
there's
a couple of safeguards there.
Yeah, I was going to say you've got all your bases covered. And that's what I was trying to figure out is like, you know, okay, well, I can't take him, but I'm going to enter him anyway. Mm-hmm. There's a computer program basically says, nope, you can't race him.
Yeah, can't even select the horse.
Wow. That is like, I would love to see the face of somebody who's doing something bad. Like, no, sorry. Now, obviously, it at that point, say it was a mare, she can have the foal. And obviously, this doesn't affect the foal and or the ability to register the foal, correct?
That's correct, right. So a mare could continue to be used for breeding for thoroughbred purposes, even if she was retired from racing.
Now, why do you think this was important to get the jockey club involved and do this?
So we've had a lot of things in the past 5 or 6 years that have dealt with aftercare. You know, I've been on to talk about the Thoroughbred Incentive Program a couple times. That's probably our number one thing. But this sort of goes hand in hand with that. We definitely want to encourage people to retire horses from racing and get them into a second career. But there was a lot of fear from owners who maybe thought that a horse would be retired and then show up back on the racetrack because it happened a few times. So this gives an extra level of protection for those owners who really do want to retire their horses from racing and also gives them a reason to give the horses papers when they sell the horse. Many owners would keep the papers sort of as a way to make sure the horse didn't end up back on the racetrack. But mm-hmm. that is not great for the horse's second career because then the people don't know who it is or they don't have the papers, you know, which as the horse's owner, they probably would like them. So it's been, I think, given a level of comfort both to the sellers of the horse at the racetrack as well as the buyers once they get them and they are able to get the papers.
Yeah, I think that's important as a person who has bought racehorses, excuse me, off the track and or down the line, it is really important to have the papers. It isn't, let me change that. It's really nice to have the papers. You know, if it's a gelding, if you're going to breed the mare, obviously it's important to have the papers, but it is really nice. But that is where the jockey club got smart a long time ago by tattooing all the horses and keeping that tattoo number. So at least if you don't have the papers, you at least know who you have and you know the name of the horse. Now, you came on to talk about the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance. Is that right?
Thoroughbred Incentive Program.
Incentive
program. I may have talked a little bit about TAA too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do all both of those.
and I want to say that you can go, that's the one you can go on and you can put horses that you would like to provide aftercare for, correct?
That's Thoroughbred Connect.
Well, I'm just pissed at them because like I put in that I would take care of Zenyatta and Wise Dan and nobody has called me.
I know. You're one of many.
I don't get that. And that brings up a point. There's so many different avenues of ways to take care of thoroughbreds. It just seems like there's no reason for any to fall through the cracks anymore. It seems so easy and there's such great organizations. I mean, and the Jockey Club is getting behind it so wholesale. Do you guys have any events coming up or anything that we need to know about?
Well, I always encourage folks to check out the calendar of events for the Thoroughbred Incentive Program. We've got 850 shows this year all over the country, so there's hopefully one near you. The only other thing I would say is we are co-sponsoring a horse show in September at the Kentucky Horse Park with New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program. So that will be a pretty cool event for anyone in the Kentucky area or surrounding states who maybe are interested in showing at a thoroughbred show.
Oh, that's cool. What kind of stuff will you have at that show?
So we have hunters, jumpers, English pleasure, and equitation. Last year we were a one-day show, and it went really long. We had about 120 horses show, and we were there pretty late. We're doing a two-day show this year, so we've extended some classes, and we're going to rearrange the rings. We're actually able to, last year we were able to use the Rolex Arena, which was pretty awesome. So we're hopefully continuing that this year. And there'll be more information available a little bit later this spring with the date September 12th and 13th. I guess that's probably the most, I'm sorry, 10th and 11th. That's probably the most important part. The more info and class lists will be available soon.
That's great. Jennifer, I think you had a question.
I did have a quick question. I was reading through some comments on a press release regarding the forum a while back. And when an owner makes a decision that the horse will be permanently retired from racing using this forum, but the owner has to be actually selling the horse. In other words, there has to be a change of ownership in order for the forum to be used. Is that correct?
That's correct. It is associated with a sale.
All right, so let's say he wants to keep it in the family and his daughter is going to ride it. Since he's the owner and he's the one who's intending to keep it, to retire it from the track, it's not really necessary for him to have the form because he made the decision. But then if later on daughter goes to college and he wants to sell that horse on forward to someone else after she goes to college, it would behoove him to go ahead and get that form despite the fact that the horse has been retired from racing for the past 19 months, it would be smart
Absolutely.
For him to do that form. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. Yep. Yeah. If the owner's keeping the horse, obviously at that point they're making the decision. So the retired from racing isn't really necessary, but the point that they determine that they're going to sell the horse, absolutely they should fill out the form and within 6 days of the sale, send it in.
And dear
and you
God,
can just get the form online, right? You can just download it.
Yes, it is available on the website, as is, I said, the list of horses that have been retired from racing, and you can actually click on their name and see a copy of their certificate of full registration stamped as retired from racing.
And yeah, get it done, because you just never know. I've been to, bless their hearts, to a Turf Paradise. Sometimes it's kind of like the last ditch effort of people to squeeze a couple bucks out of the horse. And they've got the horses running at the age of like 9, and they have been off for like 3 years. I have seen it. We have seen it. I'm sure you've seen it a lot too. So make sure you get that form done if you're selling your horse. For sure.
Absolutely.
But that's just another way for owners and trainers and everybody to be responsible for the aftercare of their horse and take ownership of it and do the right thing. So fantastic. I'm really thrilled that the Jockey Club is getting involved and getting behind this. Just another way. How cool is your life, Kristen, and your job? Like, basically, you just get to hang around and like figure out ways to hang out with thoroughbreds.
I try. My day job is I'm actually an attorney for the Jockey Club. So this is sort of my passion job. So
you like went to school and everything.
I did.
That's cool. See, I didn't know that. Now, will you be going to you're in Lexington, right?
Correct.
All right. So the Hedley Whitney Museum, Tony Leonard collection, we were just talking about before you came on. Does that excite you at all?
I honestly, it's sad to say I don't know anything about it.
Good. Okay. I'm not the only one.
Let me know.
Okay. You've got to go. It's the Hedley, write this down, Hedley Whitney Museum. There's an artist, a guy who photographed horses for, like post-World War II all the way until his death. His name was Tony Leonard, and his entire collection, hidden in a basement for a long time, was just brought out and bought by these people, and they put it all on display. And you've got to Google Tony Leonard horse photography, and you'll be like blown away.
Yeah, I know the picture. I know the photographer. I did not know he was at Hedley Whitley. That's awesome. I will definitely check that out.
They just put everything out on display. So very cool. I'm Glenn, somebody learned something today.
I did.
I learned about retired racing. She learned about the collection. So very cool. Well, Kristen, If you ever want to come on and talk any more about the Jockey Club and lawyery type stuff, you just let us know.
I definitely will. Thank you guys so much. And, you know, keep an eye out on our website and stuff. We've got some exciting stuff coming up. So
that's great. Kristen Leshy with the Jockey Club, thank you very much for joining us. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, let's hear from Equestrian Collections, and then we're going to play our song for the day. Now, the one person we have not heard from is Leslie Wiley.
Uh-huh.
And I have Kristen, who also works over there with Horse Nation, trying to track her down. And apparently nobody's heard from Leslie Wiley this morning. So we're assuming that Martha came over and kidnapped her. Lady Martha arrived and kidnapped her or got her so drunk she couldn't get out of bed this morning.
I was going to say they were Skyping and having wine last night and it just got ugly.
I think that must be it. We have a plan B if Leslie doesn't show up, but she has another 15 minutes. So we'll see. We'll see if Leslie arrives today or not.
If we don't get here from her in 5, I don't want to talk to her because she'll just be a hot mess.
That's funny sometimes, though, when she's a hot mess.
That's true.
Sometimes she's funnier when she's a hot mess. All right. We'll be back in just a minute right after this word from Equestrian Collections.
When you need to resupply, replace, update, or invest in the stuff that makes your horse life possible, stop by EquestrianCollection.com first. Browse through some 7,000 boot choices from great brands like Ariat, Boggs, Mountain Horse, Ovation, Smoky Mountain, and more. Outfit yourself in the latest and the greatest. And don't forget your horse. EquestrianCollections.com offers some 400 blankets, sheets, and coolers from Buckus, Amigo, and Rambo by Horseware, Hug, Kensington, Triple Crown Custom, and Weatherbeta, just to name a few. Your horse will be warm and dry and stylish this winter. Not sure what type of saddle pad you want? Well, go to Equestrian Collections because they have over 600 different choices. No matter whether you ride English, Western, or bareback around the backyard, EquestrianCollections.com has the most amazing selection of brand name products you are going to find anywhere. So stop by today, EquestrianCollections.com.
Spread your wings and fly. Jump into the sky. For the very first time, you're gonna leave your sorrows behind. As long as you stand on your feet, no one else can pull you down. 'Cause you are stronger than you know, even when you feel alone. As long as the sun rises every day, you're gonna find your way. You're gonna find your way. Walk in your own shoes.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. And the mystery of Leslie apparently has been solved. Somebody woke her up, and apparently she wants to come on this morning and talk about alcohol. Big surprise. So she will be here today in a few, in a few minutes.
Oh my God.
We're going to see how that goes.
Hey, I have a list if you want it.
Sure.
Unless you had something else.
No, I didn't have anything else. I just want to answer one thing here before you get to the list. And let's not forget before the end of the show, we have to talk about Lucky a little bit. We did get a message on our Facebook page from a lovely teenage girl who said, "Can I ask what the best type of horse for a beginner? I had a horse before, but I'm thinking of getting one again so I know how to ride and everything. But I'm just wondering what's the best breed. Do you know?" Okay, so this is like that person who comes up to you and says, "I know how to ride. You know, I rode once, and I know what I'm doing." The fact that you're asking what the best breed is tells me you don't know how to ride. So my advice, same one we give all the teenagers we talk to that ask this question, is go take lessons. Find a local barn, go take lessons, and you're going to figure out what breed you want from there. But definitely go take lessons before you buy another horse. That's my advice.
Now, don't be negative or anything.
I wasn't.
But you did okay, sort of. I would say, yeah, the best breed of horse is irrelevant, really, when it comes down to training. I've ridden some really awesome quarter horses and some really nightmare quarter horses. Same with thoroughbred, same with a Mustang, same with every breed of horse. So it just depends on the training. So yeah, definitely go take lessons. And before you buy, lease a horse. Or lease a horse that potentially that you like that could be for sale. And that's always a great way to get to know a horse. But definitely lessons, education, leasing, and find a reputable, responsible trainer for sure. Good luck.
There you go.
Now, the list I have is 8 things you gave up to be a horse show person. And Glenn, I think you're going to resemble some of these. And Jennifer, I know you will too. And the first one I'm going to have to agree with. And the 8 things you gave up to be a horse, really just a horse person, is lovely hands. God, isn't that the truth? I look down at my hands and I see hands of horse women older than me. And I'm like, yep, that's what I'm going to look like. Got some sort of crushed finger somewhere.
And then you see your friends that aren't into horses and they're lovely, beautiful hands. They're all smooth and yeah.
The one thing I was told when I moved to Arizona was don't forget to put sunscreen on the top of your hands. And that's true because like the top of your hands get really wrinkled.
Oh, that's
anyway.
Yeah.
That I was told to me by a horse person who didn't do it. The second thing is things you give up to be a horse show or horse person, Starbucks, because you can't afford it. But then you get one anyway. And then you're like, this is my last one. But like, you really can't afford it. Number 3 is new clothes, unless they're riding clothes. Then you're all over it. But new clothes, you're not going to go to the mall and shop. I remember in my 20s when I like had to have real clothes for like a real business, I would go into the Macy's. Now I'm like, is Ross open? I'm going to go to Ross. Nothing wrong with that. That's how I roll. Or Goodwill. You know, I love to get my pants at Goodwill.
Love Goodwill.
God. It's an addiction. Goodwill is a great place to get farm clothes. And there's some of you that have real jobs. We get it. You have to shop. It's fine. But those of us who do podcasts.
Who don't have real jobs.
And have a farm. I'm a Goodwill kind of girl. This is really funny. This came from, I believe, Horse Collaborative. That really hot guy. And the girl goes on to write this. He was so dreamy. And then you told him about the time that the horse died in the arena at a local show, and he laughed. So you left him. Yes, Dustin, I am talking about you. Don't mess with the horse girl. Don't mess. Saturday night.
That's funny.
You gave up your Saturday night. You're not going clubbing. You're going to like a Grand Prix, or you're going to bed early because you were at a horse show all day, or you have a horse show the next day. That's all you have to
do. And on Easter, you're going to the $1 million class in Ocala.
Mm-hmm. That's the hunter derby, right. The barbie, the horse friends hanging out, whatever it is. Yep. You gave up a big house. Yes, your horse has a nicer house than you. It's true. Sleeping in. Do you know, back to the house thing. I can't tell you the last time I cleaned my floors, but my God, I mucked the horse's stalls every day. You know, maybe if I pooped on my floors.
Yeah, you'd probably clean them. Maybe. I'm not sure.
A balanced diet. And this is Glenn, the taco truck at the horse show or the food truck at the horse show.
Oh, yeah. Because yes. That's all there is.
That's all there is. Mm. Now, I would like to point out, when you go to horse shows in California, they have like really good food, like avocado wraps and vegan burgers. But that's only California. It's only in California. Number eight is finally sleeping in. Jennifer, do you remember the last time you slept in?
I do not.
No, because it doesn't happen. Because it never happened.
Although, I will point this out. My days of getting up at 4 a.m. every weekend or earlier to go to horse shows are long gone, retired from that. And a little while back, I went to something. I believe it was a hunter pace. Had to get up at like 4:30 in order to get it all ready and get out the door. After you've taken a break from getting up at 4:30 in the morning, getting back to it really, really sucks. Yeah.
Like, kind of like when you have daylight savings time and then you don't have daylight saving time and then all of a sudden you have it again.
I don't know what the problem is with all you people.
And you have to get up at 4:45 all of a sudden again. Does it sound like that? Something like that?
I don't know what the problem is. It's easy. Put your feet on the floor and get up.
Uh-huh. Weenie. You just do too much.
But then I don't stay up till midnight either. So that's a big difference.
Yeah. So what Glenn gives up is a nightlife, seeing the sun go down.
I get so much done between 4 and 6. Get so much done.
Really? Did you vacuum the floors this morning?
No, but I got a lot of work done.
I
get all my emails answered between 4 and 6. That's when I answer emails. Otherwise, you're never getting an answer. You're just not having it. I would love to sleep in. Actually, I have tried to sleep in, and then I wake up, and all I do is think about sleeping in, and then I can't sleep in, and I'm awake, and then I say, well, if I'm awake trying hard to sleep, why don't I just get up?
And then you're up at 4:45.
Exactly.
That is not a bad problem to have.
It's true, though. That's what happens to me every morning. I think some people are just sleeper inners and some are not. And then Jennifer gets really pissed at me because I'm a morning person. So the minute I get out of bed, I'm awake. I'm ready to go. And she's not so much until the second cup of coffee. So it seems like marriages, you always end up with the opposite on that.
I'm a morning person, but I do like that first hour to myself. And if Chad gets up at the same time as me, he just starts asking, okay,
yeah, see, Glenn,
let's do our finances.
Let's do our finances. Don't expect to have interesting conversation. No. Just keep it.
You guys have heard me in the pre-show meeting, and then you've heard me when the show starts. And it's just that last 30 minutes that I needed to like get the fog.
It's like a switch flips. You know, we'll hang up and I'll go, this is going to be a fun show. And then as soon as we start, this is Jamie Jennings.
But hey, how's it going? Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we get in pre-show.
Okay. Sounds good.
I've learned not to expect too much now. See, you've trained me over the last 5 years.
Well, if my husband would realize that about the first 20 minutes after I wake up, I don't want to talk about how much I spent on hay this month versus how much I made in lessons. I don't want to do that.
I try not to do that.
Yeah. You know, I really don't want to talk about it ever. I really don't want to know what I spend versus what I make. But he's like such a stickler for like money and stuff.
Yeah, you know, those husbands, they have to worry about like the checkbook and bouncing things.
Yeah. It's so annoying. Leave me alone.
You know, the one thing that was missing, they could have made this 10 on this list of the things you give up to be a horse show person, is an actual balance in your checking account.
That's true.
That was another one they could have added to that list.
I told you, the first year I made a lot of money in Atlanta in radio, I was like, at the end of the year, I go to do my taxes. I'm like, where is it? Where is all that money that I made?
You and then spend I realized, to your income level. That's what happens to most people.
Yep. I realized that, that was the year that I tried to qualify and go to the AECs, which I did qualify for and continued to then compete because you want to be ready. And then I went to the AECs. It got ugly. It got ugly.
You were that girl at the AECs too?
I was that girl. But my point is, I had no money after my first year of like real money.
That's like, true.
Oh, that is true. I don't have any, but I had a hell of a year. I gotta say.
And you know, we probably make less now than we did when I was, you know, definitely when I was working full time, and yet we still seem to live the same. So then I kind of link back and go, well, if we live this pretty much the same now as when I made double the amount, why didn't I just save that double amount?
Right? Isn't that amazing? Do I hear Leslie Wiley?
Yes, you do. We might hear Leslie Wiley. We're not sure because we had to actually send out the troops this morning to wake her ass up. Leslie.
That is not true.
Well, Leslie, I was talking to Kristen. We had Jenny trying to contact you. We hadn't heard from you at all. We thought for sure Lady Martha came and got you drunk last night. And then you were totally hungover this morning.
That would be a much more exciting than actually. I wrote you an email earlier this morning with I usually send some show topic, like here's something to talk about. And you know what? Just never sent. Uh-huh. Press the. When I say it didn't go through, I mean I never actually sent the press the. Send.
Okay, everybody, hold up their hands that believes Leslie's story.
Leslie, so what's the explanation? Not answering your phone. What's the explanation for like us not being able to reach you after that?
Did you try and call?
About 25 times.
Oh, wait, I just saw this message from Kristen. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. You guys, I'm having the struggles this morning. So just, bear with me. This could be an interesting segment.
Oh dear God. Well, I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to watch this train wreck happen. Let's do this.
All right.
It's going to be good.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
That's right. It is that time of the week when we bring Leslie Wiley. We wake her up physically, go to Tennessee and shake her to get her out of bed to come on the show with us. And she is from Horse Nation. And so how are things going there, Leslie?
Man, I mean, I really do wish I had a more exciting story for you. Like, I was out last night. I was doing some early St. Patrick's Day revelry.
Well, judging by your topic, we figured that you were taste testing all of the things you're going to talk about is what we figured you were doing last night, which is why you couldn't get out of bed this morning.
I did do a St. Patrick's Day 5K yesterday. I just recently went to spend a few days in Dublin. So I'm kind of a professional, St. Patrick's Day, person.
You've been adopted by the, Irish now?
I'm an expert.
Let me say here, this was a St. Patrick's Day 5K.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know you, and you are athletic, and you do stuff, but you also are like a big poozer. So like, was this like wear your high heels, jog down the road, and swig beer every place? It was like a pub crawl run, or was this like a legitimate run?
I wish. It was legitimate. It was fun. You know, it was one of those where everybody's kind of dressed up. Everyone's got their green on.
What were you wearing?
I don't really have anything green. I was wearing sort of like some green arm warmers.
She was green herself.
Green, I was green.
We're giving you too much credit. You were like out there stretching and running.
Yes.
You probably like won the whole thing, didn't you?
Yeah. No.
Just like toe touches, lunges, getting warmed up for the race. Everybody else is drinking. She's like knee bending, deep knee bending.
Serious, guys.
Come on, everybody. Get in line. It's time to start.
And she's like 5'2", so she has to take twice as many steps as everybody else.
That's true. Thank you for acknowledging that.
You're welcome. I'm helping you out here, Leslie.
Hard for
you. Actually ran about 10 miles.
Let me tell you a little story. I am also, I am almost 5'3", so I'm a little taller than you. I would like to point out, if you see me running, then you should run too, because something is after me.
The zombies are chasing her.
Something is chasing me, and you better freaking run.
Grab your shotgun and run.
If you see me streak by, just drop whatever you're doing and run. Because I don't run for fun, ever, ever.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's an app for that. Have you heard of this Run Zombies Run app? And you put it on, and it's sort of like it's kind of like inner works for interval training. I think you could use this on your horse too for trot sets. That's my theory. But it sort of like puts you in this sort of apocalypse scenario, and sometimes you can hear the zombie moans like getting closer and closer, and then you're supposed to run faster.
That's not disturbing.
And it knows if you're running faster because it's because of GPS. So. Yeah.
I don't even.
Maybe you should try that if you really
do that while you're running along a cornfield in the country road. Do that. Yeah. That'd definitely. Be great.
That sounds really fun. I don't even watch scary movies, Leslie. That's definitely.
Leslie, what are we talking about today? Are we talking about anything today?
Yes.
Have you had time to wake up and look at the website and see what you posted last week?
No, usually we sort of review something we've already posted, but this week, since we weren't going to be able to talk, since we wouldn't talk to you guys again until after St. Patrick's Day,
Thursday, everybody.
We thought we'd give you a sneak preview of one of our St. Patrick's Day features, which is five Irish-inspired cocktails to help fix a variety of horse-related ailments.
See, I told you. He was taste testing all these last night. Make sure they were good. You can't recommend things unless they're approved.
Right.
You have journalistic standards for Horse Nation.
Absolutely.
All right, what's the first one?
Okay, first, this is the classic Irish coffee. You know, it's coffee, Irish whiskey, sugar, little whipped cream topping if you're feeling fancy. Recommended for nights when your horse decides to colic. The whiskey takes the edge off, so you won't be so stressed that you give yourself a bellyache, and the coffee keeps you awake to give you the energy to walk your horse all night long.
You put some thought into this.
Yeah, I didn't. Actually, it was Maria, one of our freelance writers, Maria, who is just a riot.
Yeah, she's going to be contacting you from AA a little later this morning.
The horse owners have to do what we got to do to get by.
I like number two. I like the name of the number. I don't know this. I don't know this drink. Irish car bomb?
Oh, God.
You go to college? Were you ever 19 years old?
I didn't do an Irish car bomb, which has so many, it's politically totally incorrect name, but go ahead.
I love this drink.
Gosh, yeah, right? It's like, it's a Guinness. You have like half a Guinness and then you drop a little shot glass of
Jameson
in it. Yeah. And I guess it's Jameson and cream, Jameson and Irish cream. And then you shoot the whole thing. Blend and it tastes like chocolate.
Well,
cake.
I was just thinking, if you put ice cream in it, it sounds like a milkshake. You know,
yeah,
it could be a milkshake.
Do half a shot of Jameson, and then I think it's like Bailey's Irish cream, and so Jameson Irish whiskey, Bailey's Irish cream, and then you drop that into a Guinness, and then you chug it. Although people like me, I wanted to sip it one time, but the cream curdles if you do it too slow. Yes, you got to like bam,
you
drink
it with conviction.
Oh, we don't encourage drinking and driving, by the way. Okay, go ahead.
No. And this, this one, we encourage the Irish car bomb. It's recommended for when your horse won't load into the trailer. We've all been there. When we can't get that one horse to load up in the trailer, you can try until you're blue in the face, or you can just give up and go in the house and make yourself this cocktail and at least enjoy whatever is left of your already miserable night. Don't worry about drinking and driving. You won't be going anywhere anyways.
I saw that in Monty Roberts' video on loading in the trailer. That was part of it.
Yeah. Irish car bombs?
Yeah.
Sounds like Monty.
Oh, man. This next one, have you guys had this? It's called a Nutty Irishman.
No.
So, Bailey's.
I've known some nutty Irishmen.
Bailey's, Frangelico, and cream.
Boy, these are all very creamy drinks.
Very rich. Yeah. Recommended for the day the farrier comes out. This will lessen the blow of the bill, and if you offer one to your farrier, it will lessen the blow he received from your horse's back foot.
A word of caution. We've heard over the years doing this show how many women end up sleeping with the farrier. Maybe less alcohol is better.
What?
Oh my God,
Leslie.
Leslie, you're acting like that's a new thing?
I think we estimated
when we talked, when we talked about this years ago, right, Jamie? We talked about this, and I think we sort of added up in our head the people we know personally that have slept with farriers, and we determined that about 75% of the farriers sleep with their clients.
Do you know who the first person my mother dated after she divorced my father was?
Your farrier?
My farrier.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, that's just wrong.
That is wrong in so many ways.
I know, right? Try being 16.
Oh my gosh. Be like, sweetheart, doesn't your horse have an abscess? Like,
your mom's out there at night with a wrench yanking the shoes off. Your horse lost a shoe.
Logan, go ahead and tell you that at one point when he stopped calling, I lost a farrier. So then I had to reshop for a farrier. Thanks, Mom.
I think a research project is in order for Horse Nation. What do you think?
Leslie, I would like to...
The farrier.
I only dated the vet, so I feel like I got more out of it.
Yeah. Good ways to save money, I guess.
Yeah,
I
mean, exactly. Genius.
Well, now at least by that reaction, we know one horse girl in Tennessee that has not slept with her farrier.
I am proud to say I've not slept with my farrier.
I have a female farrier, so I'm way good.
I have slept with the farrier, by the way. Jennifer does our horses. So. I do sleep with my farrier every night. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it. There's some hot farriers out there for sure. And they have like that sort of that lumberjack thing going, you know, like the manly man.
Like, especially like, you know, hot shoers, and they kind of have that like burned hoof stink about them. And
yeah, that makes me want to jump into bed.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's not bad. Okay.
All right, let's continue now with the Irish grasshopper.
The Irish grasshopper. That would be a cute name for a horse, wouldn't it be?
Yes, it would, actually. Yeah.
Irish whiskey, creme de menthe.
Creme de menthe.
Half and half, shaved dark chocolate for a garnish. Let's see.
Another foo-foo drink. Do the Irish only drink creamy foo-foo drinks?
I think the Irish drink
anything.
I know why this
happens. Whatever you put in front of them.
Let me explain it to you. They drink them for breakfast and they need some nutrients in there, okay?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you do need some protein and things. Yeah, sugar.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah, this last one, the Jameson Irish whiskey.
Oh, that's
she
straight
says,
up.
She's like, what? So this is number 5. Irish whiskey straight up or over ice. This must be really bad. Recommended for horse-related accidents, especially when a bone is broken or skin is ripped off. This shot will help you dull the pain when you're too far away to dial 911 or too poor to go to the hospital. This is a really, really bad idea, but it sure beats being sober. That's some, like, frontier hospital.
Yeah, that's right. Tent. It's what you see in all the westerns, right?
Bite the stick.
Yeah. It's what you see in all the westerns. The first thing after they've been shot, and they always seem to go to like the dentist's office, right? And they walk into the dentist's office, and he hands them a thing of whiskey. That's the first thing that happens every time.
And he takes a sip, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Now, I would like to point out that they're at a particularly bad day in my life when I... It was a big mess, and I decided that I needed to leave town, and I booked myself a vacation in, like, Wyoming. And I go to the bar with my brother. I'd broken up with the boyfriend. I was supposed to go on a trip with him, and then all fell through. So I'm like, I'm going on my own vacation then. So anyway, I go to the bar, and I sit down at the bar, and the guy goes, what can I get you? And I go, what do cowgirls drink? And he goes, here you go. Poured me some Jameson Irish whiskey, and we've been friends ever since. Me and the whiskey, not the bartender.
I was going to say the bartender.
That's what cowgirls drink. Come on.
That's what cowgirls drink.
Well, that's a heck of a list. Maria did a good job with that list.
Yeah, she is. Yes. She is. You know, she is a clever one, that Maria. And
where's Maria from? I don't think we've ever had her on before.
You should. She is out west somewhere. Hold on, I can figure this out.
You're gonna Google her right now.
Yeah, she's Facebooking, going, where is she from?
I wonder, Leslie, have you even met all the people that work for you?
I've met some of them, not all of them. We always have, instead of like office parties and gatherings, we'll have like, this is real dorky, like Google Hangout parties. So we just sit around and like drink and hold up our cats.
I am so glad you used that term.
Quote of the day. We used like drink and like hold up.
I am so glad I was a little nervous there for a second.
Yeah, I was really excited because usually, like, really and truly, it's all a bunch of cat ladies I just found out Marissa Maria lives in Vegas. Of course, she lives in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
You know, I just read this thing that said what horse women are like crazy cat women with money.
Without money.
But it's money. But
broke then. Yeah, lady.
Well, thank you so much, Leslie, for getting out of bed for us this morning. We really appreciate you, forcing yourself to get up an hour early. We figured the other thing I thought of is she forgot to change her clocks. You know, she does live in rural Tennessee.
Right.
I wasn't too sure if you actually remembered to change the clocks there.
But we don't have iPhones around here that change themselves, okay. For sure. All right.
Just checking. Thank you for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Okay. You guys take care. Have a great week.
HorseNation.com.
Bye, Leslie.
Bye.
All right, we need a lucky update. The listeners have been asking for a lucky update, and let's just remind everybody that Lucky is Jamie's Basset Hound, who she rescued and had a lot of health problems to start with, and still does. And she did a fundraising campaign and actually raised quite a few dollars from the listeners and friends to help Lucky out. So everybody wants to know. He's still got ear issues, and she went to a specialist here a little bit ago and got some new medicine. So now that's been going on for a week or so. How's his ears?
I think he definitely feels a lot better, and he stinks a lot less. So
that's good. Both of those are good.
Those are two good things. You know, the problem is when you have to – a lot of the medicines that I've had that haven't worked, the vet puts it in there and depresses it and it stays in there itself. So you don't have to do a lot of treatment. The sad thing about this is he's getting eardrops twice a day. And my farm sitter, I'm going to have to pay her extra. So Lucky has been, let's just say that the night before I left, I was like, we have to go to the grocery store. Chad's like, why? We're leaving. We don't need anything in the grocery store. I'm like, Lucky needs a new rotisserie chicken. So Lucky is on a strict diet of his dog food twice a day, but he also gets pills a couple times a day and the eardrops. So Lucky gets a lot of rotisserie chicken. It's one of his favorite things. So the Safeway people see me coming, the vegetarian in there that's buying the rotisserie chicken for her dog. I had to go get a new one before we left town. Chad's like, I cannot believe I'm stopping at the stupid grocery store for a rotisserie chicken for a dog. It's ridiculous. What is my
Chad
life
has to
become?
Eat like broccoli.
I'm like, you have a PB&J. We got to save the last of the chicken for Lucky.
Chad, you know, he's gonna love this new flying job because he'll be in airports which have crappy food everywhere. Yeah. He'll be able to eat all the crappy food he wants.
That just means I'm gonna be so strict when he comes home. We are doing an artery cleanse today, hun. Today is beet juice.
Okay, but you really want him to still want to come home. I'm just saying.
Oh, but it'll feel so good. It'll feel so much better when he's home.
So Lucky's doing better. We're doing better.
So Lucky seems to be doing better. We were supposed to have the appointment with the specialist again this Thursday, but I'm out of town. So we're going to try to schedule it for Monday. They're only in town. They're a dermatologist. It's a dog dermatologist. Yes, write that down. They have those. And they're very expensive. So we're supposed to have it Thursday, but we're going to try to schedule it for the next time she's in town, which I believe is Monday. So that's when hopefully we'll go back, but I'll let you know when we get a little closer whether I was able to get that appointment. But yeah, so he's yelping a lot less. You have to lift the giant, you know, beautiful ear up to put the drops in. And when I used to lift the ear up to put the drops in, he would scream. Now I can lift him up and put the drops in and he just cringes. So that seems better, right?
That seems much better. Much better than getting your hand bit off when you try and pick his ear up.
Bless his heart. He's never been upset. Like, he's never been aggressive. Ever once in his days has he been aggressive.
He is such a sweet dog.
Yeah, that's the thing is like, oh, this sucks, but I love you. Yeah. Okay, it sucks, but I love you. Like,
well,
that's
it's like he almost knows not to blame you. You know, it's not your fault. So, well, that's good. We want to see Lucky doing well.
Love him so much. I miss him. I have to call him.
Yeah, I didn't figure you brought him on the airplane. He'd take up a whole seat.
No, he would not fit. Not fit.
He wouldn't fit under the seat. That's for darn sure. Well, we a couple of programming notes here before we leave you for the day. We're going to have recorded shows the next 2 days. We'll be doing some best ofs. Jamie is traveling, going to do her school down there, doing airline pilot wife school. I'm dying to know what airline pilot wife school is, by the way.
I will take notes.
Okay, you do
that.
You
know they don't call it that, right? They don't call it that.
Oh, they don't call it that?
That's what I called it.
Well, I want to know what they do at airline pilot wife school.
Okay,
You know, do you actually get to sit in a cockpit? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
So we'll find out about that coming up when Jamie's back. Now, so the next 2 days we have best of episodes, and then we'll have trail riding episode on Thursday live, and then on Friday live we start our coverage from Road to the Horse. And just to remind everybody, we'll be Mary Kitzmiller and I, 2-time Road to the Horse competitor. We'll be live Friday morning at usual time 9 a.m. and Saturday morning special Horses in the Morning edition. On Saturday morning, live at 9 a.m. And then Sunday will be 4 hours live from 11 to 3, 3:30 till the competition's done. We'll be coming to you live with play-by-play of the finals on Sunday. That's the first time that's ever happened. We're the only free place that you can get that coverage. And I also want to remind everybody, and I noticed that some people were posting on my page, we're doing a meetup this Sunday night, or this Friday night, rather. Friday night at 7 o'clock at the Clarion Hotel in Lexington at the restaurant there, Cortland's Country Kitchen. We'll be doing a meetup at 7 o'clock for friends and listeners. Anybody that wants to stop by, Mary Kitzmiller and I will both be there. So we hope
FaceTime
that you
stop me while
by.
You're there.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, it'd be good. And by the way, Mary Kitzmiller is like awesome. And she liked one of my comments. And I was pretty excited. I was like, oh my God, Mary Kitzmiller.
I think she was one of only 3 or 4 females to ever compete at Road to the Horse at that level, you know, as top trainer. So, and it was last year during Road to the Horse where she picked up her Z-Dunk, where she got her Z-Dunk when she was in Kentucky. That's where I met the Z-Dunk last year, which she's now training to be part of her show. So the Z-Dunk will be doing tricks on her show, maybe. Z-Dunk's taking a little while to train, apparently.
I would imagine, yeah. Yes. My neighbor has a Zorse, and she sent it to a professional trainer, whatever, cowboy, whatever. 6 months later, she gets it back, and my neighbor was like, so can we ride her now? And she was like, he goes, some days. The trainer was like, yeah, mate, I don't know.
No.
That's money well spent.
All right. Well, I know you have to get to Dallas. So we have a great trip. Have a good time at training school and Chad as well. So he's got a little more training. He has to learn where all the new buttons are.
Yeah, he's got a little more time in training than me. But yeah, I'll be there for a couple of days and I'm just going to actually enjoy, you know.
Dallas is fun, too. If you get out, by the way, there's a million tack shops in Dallas.
I know. And I have family lives in Dallas. So I'm going to meet up with my cousins tomorrow.
Yeah, you got to go tack shopping because there's a million of them in Dallas. And Fort Worth, too.
I don't have a car. It's so boring. I'll just stay at the hotel and sit by the pool and drink drinks. Yeah. It's going to be terrible.
You're going to be, is this the first time you've been childless for a period of time?
Aside from going to Monty Roberts last year. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. But very good. Well, you two have fun. And we'll talk to you next Monday.
There's nothing sexier than we have a gala dinner Wednesday night. And there is nothing sexier than me in my red dress with my crutches and cast. Oh, yeah, baby.
And being asked 1,000 times how you did it. Yeah. Everybody asks because you just feel compelled to ask, right?
You need to come up
with a different story for everyone.
Try riding a wheelchair through the airport and see how many people stare at you. It's weird. I feel bad for like people that actually have real ailments.
You know, you got to come up with a different funny story for every person that asks.
And it's the worst too. You just feel like such a snobby bitch when you're like, oh, my horse hurt me. It's like, no, I was in a car. Like, I was rescuing children from a burning building.
That's it. And then the ambulance ran over my foot.
Yes. And it's like, oh, no, I was riding my horse. Like, you overprivileged twit. Like, oh, my God.
She was definitely an officer's wife. There's no question about it.
Oh, she's such a snob. Her horse hurt her. God, it's the worst thing to say to people that are like,
you need a better story. You really do.
Real crippled people that like deal with this on a daily basis, like real people in the wheelchair going through the airport. I'm like, oh my God, I'm such an asshole. Like, this is terrible. Sorry, I'm too much cousin.
We'll see everybody.